next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. The Hawkeyes host Miami University on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPNU. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could give us some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Sure, I'm sure, like everybody, you know, we're eager to get started here, and it's been a productive preseason session, and that's always fun, too. You know, it's pure football, pure teaching, but at some point, you know, you have to, I think, mode into, you know, game week operation, and I think our team's eager to go. So we're certainly not 100% ready yet, but I think the guys so far have had a good week, and, you know, hopefully we can get things cleaned up a little bit and ready to play on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from one of Jesse Temple, ESPN.com.
Kirk, what did you see in Greg Maben when you asked him to switch from receiver to defensive back a few springs ago? And has he taken to the position better than you expected?
Yeah, I think, first of all, when we recruited Greg, we just thought he's a good all-around athlete. He wasn't really highly recruited. I wouldn't describe him as that. But we thought he was a really good prospect, very versatile, and, just a good all-around athlete. So we were not 100% sure if he'd be a offensive or defensive player. And then, you know, beyond that, we weren't sure if he'd be a safety or a corner, a little bit like Desmond King in that regard. So, the bottom line is once you get a guy on campus, I think you get a little better grasp of what he can do and can't do. And it was just kind of a combination of us looking at our team but most importantly, looking at him and evaluating him. We thought he would have a chance to be a good Big Ten corner, and those are hard to come by. So we encouraged him to try that, and it's really worked out well for him.
How valuable do you think Greg will be this year in the secondary, particularly if teams maybe shy away from throwing to Desmond?
Well, I think anytime you have an experienced player back who's a good player and a good guy, good team guy, that's certainly a benefit. So, I think we haven't been in this situation very often, but we have an unusual circumstance where we have two corners that are, both really experienced. We think they're both talented players, and they're excellent team guys and team leaders on top of it. So we're just very happy that he's on our team.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Lee Barfnick, Omaha World Herald.
Kirk, just wondering if there's a decision yet on Noah Fant, whether he's going to play some or redshirt.
Leah, we're really strongly considering it, and he practiced well again this morning. So probably like most of our freshmen, we may take it right till game time or even over the next couple of weeks make a decision. But I think there's a good chance he'll be on the field for us, this week and beyond.
Okay, you lost that big senior class. Have your true freshmen done a pretty good job in fall camp of challenging for spots?
They have, not necessarily starting jobs, but we've got a lot of them right now that are in the pseudo too deep. And, I think most teams are like us, you're just kind of trying to figure out all the pieces as you go along. But I think, we were really pleased with the group when they signed, really pleased when they came here in June and July. And they've handled the football part of things so far, at least pretty well. So I could see us, playing anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 guys might enter into the mix a little bit, mostly on special teams, but maybe some situational players too.
Okay, thanks, Kirk.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Coach, when you're coming off, as successful of a campaign as you had last year and, in a situation where you have so many key players returning, what kind of unique challenges does that bring as far as you try to transition into the new season?
I think the big thing everybody has to understand, especially our players and all of us that work with our players, is this is a new year. And, last year, going into the year, we were coming off a disappointing finish to the 14 season. That really had no bearing on what took place in 15, and then it's almost the converse of that. This past year, we came off a year that was pretty good, and but I think again, everybody has to understand it's a whole new team. We lost 21 seniors that really did a good job. Obviously, not all of them were starters, but all of them had ownership. All of them did a great job of leading, and because of that, there's a big void, and we're still scrambling right now to try to fill that void. So we've had guys that were on the team ascend and rise up, and then we've also had some guys that are new to our campus this past summer that, you know, I think have a chance to play roles too. So, you know, it's always an ongoing process, always a new challenge, and, you know, the 12 games in front of us right now will all present, you know, their own set of circumstances and challenges as we go along.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Dotterman with Land of 10.
Yeah, Kirk, you had two experienced kickers, or at least guys who'd been on campus for a couple of years, and now, but according to your depth chart, you've got Keith Duncan, you know, being first team. What did you see out of him through the course of camp that gave him the edge over the other two?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how he got here, first of all, you know, from North Carolina, but that's a whole separate story. Yeah, our kicking situation's one that doesn't get talked a lot about, but, you know, certainly was paramount in our concentration and focus, and it is a tale of two cities. We've got a fifth-year graduate in Ron Caluzzi punting, who's done a really nice job, and then Keith is at the other end of the spectrum, a true freshman. So, you know, he came here for summer school and, you know, paid his own way. He's a walk-on player. And just, you know, basically the essence of the whole thing is we evaluated everything through camp, and we may continue this evaluation even into September. But thus far, he's been the most consistent, and all the guys have competed well, but he's been the most consistent. So the evaluation was based solely on that, and, you know, he's done a good job thus far.
As far as Caluzzi goes, I mean, he was a guy that, you know, finished up his degree, and now here he is on campus, you know, and won that spot. What was the conversation like with him before he came, and did he contact you first, or did you kind of hear that he was open before he was able to make a commitment?
Yeah, there again, I can't give you the true to the whole lineage of the whole thing. Seth Walls could do that for you, but Seth brought his name into a meeting, and I'm not sure how they connected. But, you know, next thing you know, we had him on campus for a visit, and, you know, John Bonamigo, who coaches at Central, he, John and I worked together too, so there's a, you know, connection there. And John was supportive of the whole thing. But I think, you know, Ron's goal is to play in a Big Ten school or a situation similar to that. And, you know, he just came on the visit with his mom and his sister. We were really impressed with everybody, including Ron. And he came here as a walk-on player also. And, you know, I think that says a lot about him. So he felt good about his opportunity. Certainly a perfect situation with us needing a punter. And, you know, he's really done a great job. And not only on the field, but just the way he does things. And being, we've got a very young group of specialists. So he's been a really good influence that way as well.
Thanks, Kirk.
Thank you, Scott.
Your next question comes from Dave Campbell, Associated Press.
Hey, Coach. The first year of the 9-game Big Ten schedule, just wondering if there are any unknowns in your mind that you're sort of eager to see how they play out, both in terms of your team and maybe how the conference races shake out, too.
You know, really, I haven't spent much time thinking about it. And, you know, schedule-wise for us, you know, we've typically tried to play two major conference opponents in our non-leagues portion of our four-game schedule. So, you know, what we've done is swap out one of those games for a conference game. The obvious difference is this will you know, contribute to the race, you know, factor into the race. But, you know, all that being said, you play 12 games, and they all, and that's one great thing about college football. Every game is so important and so significant. So, you know, not only in the conference standpoint, but, you know, you're that's what you're playing for. You only get so many opportunities. It's not like baseball where you play 162 games. So, you know, I think from our approach, it really doesn't matter. And, you know, if you want to look at it from the race standpoint, the only glaring disadvantage I see is that you got 5 away games in certain years and 4 in others. And, you know, so if you're on that 5 side of the coin, which I think we are this year, you know, you got one more road game. I guess that's what it gets down to. And we're kind of used to that anyway. You know, we're starting at Rutgers, I believe. I think it's 14 out of 18 years we've always started Big Ten play on the road. So we seem to have a pattern going that way anyway. So we're nothing really new.
We've got time for one last question.
Your final question comes from Todd Jones with the Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Kirk, I was curious about how Desmond King, how he responded to any kind of feedback he got from the NFL evaluators, and also yourself and your staff. When you win the Thorpe Award, you don't, you know, what kind of criticism do you accept, and how do you respond to that going into this season?
I'm not sure I follow you on that last one. Criticism?
Well, not criticism, but just constructive, you know, things he needed to work on.
Oh, for him. I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, I follow you. You know, I coached in the NFL for 6 years, and, you know, Jonathan Ogden's one of the most gifted players I've ever been around. Yeah, you know, there's certain things. There weren't many things with him, but there are certain things he could work on and get better at. And one of the reasons he was such a good player, that's how he was wired. And I'd say the same thing about Desmond. Or, you know, we've had, I think, 7 national award winners now, 7 or 8 of them in the last 15. Actually, that's the last 12 years, I guess. So, you know, we've had some really good players come through here. A guy like Yonda that wasn't a national award winner, but he's done pretty well in Baltimore. So, Bob Sanders the same way. Most of the good players I've been around, guys that are really good, are wired that way. That's how they got good. They think that way. They're always looking for ways to improve. And, you know, Desmond hasn't missed one snap this camp, one snap in the spring. He loves football. He loves being part of college football. I think that's why he stayed. You know, you'd have to ask him and yourself on that one. But that was my sense. You know, getting his degree was important. But being part of a college football team, you know, he'll get his chance to play in the NFL. He'll have a nice career. And, you know, but it'll wait. And I think right now he's just excited about being a Hawkeye and trying to help our team win, not only through his play, but also his leadership. And, you know, we're really appreciative and thrilled that he's on our football team.
Thanks, Kirk.
Okay, thank you.
Coach, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Looks good. Thank you. Bye-bye.